Senator, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Tony.
Huge, huge story. Top fold of yesterday's Detroit News, written by Nathan Hurst. It's titled, U.S. Panel Finds Mortgage Abuse by Lenders in Detroit. Senator, when I read this, not only was it an expansive story, but your committee went through a lot of information, and what you found really surprised you and disappointed you, and you're going to take action.
Well, the story is a pretty sordid story. It starts with the mortgage, mortgages that never should have been issued, that where people were dragged into mortgages that had high interest rates instead of low interest rates, where people's their income was lied about, where there were forgeries. These are bad mortgages. They then we looked at one bank up in the state of Washington, the largest thrift in the country, and then those mortgages became part of a whole securities operation, Wall Street packaged those mortgages, securitized them, as it said, and that means that they were used as a security for major investments by pension funds, by municipalities. And then when the mortgages went under, then those securities were also became almost worthless, in many cases worthless. That's where Goldman Sachs comes in, because they deceive people with their practices of assuring folks when they sold those securities that they were good securities, when they told people that, in many cases, that Goldman was on the same side of the security. In other words, they were betting that the security would be a good security, when in fact Goldman was betting against the security, making, in one case, a couple billion dollars at the expense of their clients. So it's a pretty sordid story. It's also a story of regulatory failures. The agency which was supposed to oversee this thrift out in Washington sat on their hands and didn't do their job at all, despite 500 times when they saw problems, they did nothing about it with that one thrift. So it's a long story, it's a sad story, but it's one that had to be told, because our recession was really based on these mortgages that went under and the housing values that then went down.
Well, as you know, foreclosures are still a huge, huge problem, not only in the state of Michigan, but here locally in Lansing. What can be done to help this situation?
Well, I think one of the things that, we did do is to give some incentives to banks to recast those mortgages. In other words, to write some of those mortgages down. Banks don't gain much when people are thrown out of the homes, a lot of vacant homes in neighborhoods. Housing values go down, and the banks end up with a whole bunch of houses on their hands, which are worth less than the balance of the mortgage if it would have been reduced. And so we've given incentives to banks to recast, as we say it, those mortgages so that the balances can be reduced to the value of the home. Right now, we have a huge percentage of our people who have mortgages which have a balance that's higher than the value of the home. In other words, the mortgage is underwater, as we say. But the banks have incentives to reduce the balances on those mortgages. They just have not done what they should be doing.
What would you say? The opposition would always say, why should taxpayer dollars go to help people who got in over their head?
All of us are affected by the number of vacancies and the number of foreclosures. None of us are left untouched. We have a lot of people who paid off their mortgages, but if those values of their homes go down because of the vacancies and the foreclosures, if the neighborhoods are damaged, if our communities are damaged by the large number of vacancies and housing values going down, all of us are impacted by this. It's not just the people who are foreclosed.
Senator, I wanted to get your take on the budget. The Congress, I should say the House of Representatives, have found common ground for 2011. The battle is going to be for the next budget. But you have this one faction, I guess you would say Republicans, who say we're going to cut. And then you hear stories that the Democrats are saying, well, children are going to starve and old folks are going to be put out of their homes because the middle class and the poor are not being taken care of with these cuts. How do you respond to that?
Well, you have to make cuts. That's not the issue. The issue is how you make them and whether or not everybody's going to be part of the effort to get our balances, get our budgets back in balance? That's the question. It's how you do it. And I could not vote for this because the people who did the best and who came out very, very well from the recession are the wealthiest among us, the upper 2% or 3% folks making over $250,000. Their incomes have gone up in the last 10 years. Middle incomes have gone down. So to cut programs which are important to working people, middle-class people, whether these programs are programs for education programs, whether these are infrastructure programs, roads and sewers, these are jobs programs that are being cut as well as important programs for our communities. So why should we be doing this without the upper bracket folks contributing at all? Why should the Bush tax cuts for upper-income people be protected? Why should the millionaires or the billionaires be better off while middle-income people have actually lost ground and then see programs that are important to them being cut at the same time? So we've got to make cuts in spending, but we also got to go after those revenues which will be produced in a significant amount if we get rid of the tax cuts that President Bush obtained for upper-income people. That's the balance that needs to be struck.
From your perspective, what is the responsibility? How much should the rich have to take on when it comes to the support that they give for these programs and for helping to balance the budget?
We ought to go back to the tax brackets that we had with President Clinton. Everybody did better during those years. All of our boats went up. People who were wealthy did better, but middle-income people did better because the tax rates were fair and balanced proportionate. And we have to go back to that kind of a tax rate, which means that we're going to have to, raise the upper bracket tax rate by 3%. That was approximately the cut which President Bush was able to obtain for upper-income people. So that's what I would do is go back to that upper bracket tax rate that existed during the Clinton years.
Do you think that'll happen?
Something like that has to happen. There's no way you can balance the budgets or come anywhere close or make significant reductions in spending without getting more revenues. And you can't take more revenues out of middle-income people because they've lost ground. So it's the only way that you can get a significant number of revenues. Other than that, there's a bunch of tax loopholes, which, for instance, give incentives to people to move their businesses overseas. We got to end those kind of tax incentives. That picks up some money for the Treasury as well, is saving jobs. And I got to save my job by leaving you.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Take good care.